was not proud of America. The tag stuck, just as Reverend Jeremiah Wright's statement, "Goddamn America," stuck. Now Barack Obama was surrounded by two people close to him, his pastor and his wife, who came off as bitter people, filled with black rage against white people and hatred for the United States. Both had ties that went back to Stokely Carmichael, right through black liberation theology and its roots in black power thinking, Michelle through her Princeton thesis. Moreover, when Michelle's thesis came to light and the public realized she had been educated at Princeton, she began to look as elitist as Obama. Michelle might have been raised by a middle-class black working family on Chicago's South Side, but while being educated at an Ivy League school, she indulged in the luxury of experiencing alienation, instead of being grateful for the opportunity. Nor was the impression diminished when the public learned that Michelle, like Barack, also got her law degree at Harvard in 1988. The impression that Michelle Obama is a loose cannon filled with rage was reinforced by a profile printed in the London paper, The Observer. Reporter Lauren Collins asked Michelle if she was offended by Bill Clinton's use of the phrase fairy tale to describe her husband's argument we should pull out of Iraq. Michelle responded immediately with no, but then added in what Collins described as an affected, funny voice, "I want to rip his eyes out." As she said this, Collins reported, Michelle clawed at the air for effect. Then one of her advisors gave Michelle a nervous look, so she covered herself, adding quickly, "Kidding. See, this is what gets me into trouble." In creating Obama's image for us, David Axelrod has a problem. Obama is a secret tobacco smoker. A once rare photograph, now widely circulated on the internet, shows Barack Obama smoking a cigarette. The lit cigarette, which looks like a Marlboro, is smoked more than halfway down. The butt hangs by the filter from his lips. Gone is the smiling Obama image we are encouraged to identify with hope. Instead of showing the camera his famous movie star smile, Obama is caught looking down, frowning. The corners of his mouth are pursed and what looks like an expression of annoyance. The collar of his white shirt is open. He is wearing a suit without a tie, but he is not relaxed. Obama appears tired or maybe even angry. When cameras are around, Obama typically does not smoke. Obama's smoking habit was discussed at length by Chicago Tribune reporter David Mendel in his 2007 biography, Obama, From Promise to Power. When Obama was running for the U.S. Senate in 2004, Mendel noticed he was getting less FaceTime with him. At first, Mendel attributed this to Obama's need for personal privacy. But then he realized there was another reason. Obama was a secret smoker, Mendel wrote, and he did not want to light up a Marlboro in front of a reporter. Mendel appreciated immediately how smoking would affect Obama's public image. The public portrait of Obama now bordered on saintly, especially for a politician. Learning that he smoked might tarnish this picture. So Obama went to great lengths to conceal the habit. Later, one of Obama's aides confirmed Mendel's observations, explaining to the reporter that Obama preferred to travel in the car to campaign appearances alone with his campaign aides because he wanted to have that cigarette, and he couldn't have it when you were with him, or he had to sneak it. A person who has to hide his or her smoking appears to be living in a lie. Moreover, New Age guys do not smoke. New Age guys who smoke out of sight cannot be trusted. A New Age politician, dreaming of change and hoping for the future, is not an image consistent with a guy who has to smoke cigarettes on campaign breaks just to make it through the day. If Obama takes pains to hide his smoking from us, what else does he take pains to hide? Looked at from a certain perspective, the habit is a crack in the wall, a flaw that calls into question whether the persona Axelrod has crafted for Obama is who really Obama is, or simply the person Axelrod wants us to see. Axelrod's goal with Obama, then, is to mask from white voters the radical intellectual background that has shaped his politics. When we hear the Axelrod package language Obama speaks, what we are supposed to hear is a universal message of hope. We're not supposed to remember the angry politics of race defined by the black liberation theology Obama has professed since he was baptized and married by Reverend Wright at Trinity United Church of Christ on Chicago's South Side. Nor are we supposed to associate calls for change with the redistribution of income that Saul Alinsky had in mind when he advocated using change as a radical socialist call to action. Defeating Obama will require removing the mask Axelrod has placed before Obama's face so that important segments of the general electorate can fully appreciate how radical and politically unacceptable to them his policy views truly are.